From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. It's Earth Week, and one of the easier ways everyone can be kind to Mother Earth is by recycling garbage they would otherwise be throwing out. Recycling is something people involved with La Crosse County's Solid Waste Department take seriously. In fact, they envision a day when everything is recycled and there's no longer a need to put garbage in a landfill. An estimated 42% of the waste taken in by the disposal system is burned for energy or recycled, including about 500,000 pounds of material taken in last year by the Household Hazardous Waste Program. Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Roysom sat down with La Crosse County Sustainability Coordinator Nick Nichols and Solid Waste Program Director Randy Netterlow to talk about the system now and in the future. Steve asked Netterlow about a program that helps recycle shingles into asphalt.
The shingles can be used in about 5% in asphalt and is used part of the road base. Wisconsin DOT has a protocol which allows for up to 5%. La Crosse County Highway Department now specifies that any roads or any asphalt that they contract for has to contain at least 5% of the asphalt from shingles. And what happens is we bring the shingles in, put them on a separate site, we grind them up, remove all the nails and other debris from them, and it goes out to, Mathie Construction is taking a lot of them, but it'll go to a asphalt contractor, and they mix them in with the asphalt.
Can you do this with the technology you already have? I mean, were you ready for this?
They perform very well in the roads. It's just a matter of getting when the DOT had the specification so that it could be done, they had to follow the specifications. The technology is actually relatively simple. It's just a matter of testing to make sure that they're going to hold up, and which they do very well.
I jumped in a little bit when you were talking about some of the materials, that's being diverted to outside the landfill. Were there any others that you were going to mention?
We take in clean wood waste that gets ground up, and that actually goes back to Xcel, because part of what they burn with the municipal waste is wood chips. We take yard waste. We're not a big yard waste collector, but we do take that. Grass and leaves can't go into into a landfill in Wisconsin. It's been that way for over 25 years, and we will take those in a separate area. It's a very rudimentary compost type situation. We're not set up to do it real well, but we do take them and we do utilize them.
Like you were explaining about in regards to the shingles, is it kind of, how do you go about establishing relationships with companies, organizations that would take that material and use it for, say, shingles or some other use for whatever product?
It happens in lots of ways. We may go to somebody and say, hey, we've got something. Can we work with you to utilize it? Somebody comes to us. A lot of times people will come to us and they'll have ideas. So it really can happen in a number of different ways.
Give me an example.
A lot of farmers use these agricultural bags to put silage in instead of their silos nowadays because it's so much cheaper. The problem is they're a single-use material. The companies that manufacture it and sell it don't take it back, so the farmer is left to try and dispose of this material, and it's quite a problem. So they're left with trying to landfill it themselves, put it in a hole on their own property, burn it, which is not a good idea, or bring it to us for disposal. And even disposing of ag bags in a landfill is not an easy thing to do. We have machines out there that crush everything, try and grind it into the dirt, to compact it, because the more material we can get into a set space, the more money we make as a landfill, unless we have to increase our fees. Ag bags aren't very conducive to that. So one of the things we've been doing this last year is calling around trying to find somebody who can use these or who can recycle them. There might be some opportunities, but we don't know. So we've come up with a particular item within the waste stream that's an issue, and we just start calling around, see who's got what and what other facilities are doing, if they've got opportunities, and we share information. So that's kind of the process in trying to figure out what we can keep out.
any sort of want ads or anything like that? I mean, you go online and sometimes there's communications between organizations and such. How do you find out that this – I take it you don't call cold call people.
Oh, absolutely. I'll cold call anybody if I can, sure. But really? A lot of times our first step is to Google it. Sure. You know, one of the guys in the office actually found a place in the Northeast that is taking ag bag material and they're turning it into sidewalks, you know, which is kind of interesting. Problem is it costs a lot of money to get it there. There's a company out in California that's doing something with us. But you have to take into consideration you've got a lot of transportation costs. You have to bale the material up. You have to try and put it in a format that can be shipped. You know, there's a lot of things that go into trying to recycle something.
Is the landfill making money, holding even?
It's a real complicated question.
Okay.
Last year, we took in more revenue than we spent, so our budget was positive. The year before, it was negative. The year before that, it was positive. We do have some money in reserves. You know, the thing is, with the landfill, there's a lot of costs involved with that are out there. When we open up a new cell, which we will have to do probably 2 to 3 years from now, we've got a $3, possibly $4 million expense that we have before we can put any waste into it. So we've got some large capital expenses out there that we have to have money to do. We can borrow money, but that's right now we've got a lot of debt from previous situations at the landfill. So again, we've got to cover our debt costs as part of this, and so we need to have money in reserves in order to do that. Right now, we are in a healthy situation. The thing is, that can change at any time. 2 years ago with the recession, waste volumes dropped off, and it was very tight as far as how we would be at the landfill monetarily. So I guess the quick answer is yes, right now we are doing okay, but we also have a lot of stressors on us that, and a lot of costs out there in the future that we have to plan for.
Go ahead, Nick.
I want to add one thing that we need people to understand, though, is that we're what's called an enterprise fund. All the money that we make comes from what we charge to put material into the landfill. We're not tax-supported. The landfill is completely self-supporting when it comes to its fees. Now, there are some fees for the household hazardous materials facility, but that comes from the cities, and Randy could actually speak better to that than I.
Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, with our household hazardous materials program, we are supported partially by the municipalities and by the county. Each municipality contributes $1 per capita to the program. The county matches that, and that's about half of our budget. The rest comes from either fees to small businesses, grants from the state government, which we've still been able to get. In the future, that may or may not be the case. So, and again, that's moving more toward being self-sufficient also, because our contract with the municipalities for support goes through 2017. And after that, we may, that money may not be available. You know, tax money gets tight. But that's only really a small portion of the budget at the landfill. You know, it's actually one small area. Well over 95% of the total budget comes from the fees charged at the landfill, and it is a self-supporting operation.
This is Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, and we are talking with a couple of guests here, Randy Netterlow, who you just heard from, La Crosse County Solid Waste Program Director, and Nick Nichols, Sustainable Coordinator for La Crosse County. Nick, maybe I'll throw this to you. And could we see other materials being reused, recycled down the road? Any up-and-coming possibilities?
Oh, absolutely.
Like what? And how do you know it's an up-and-coming possibility?
Because there's all kinds of organizations out there that are recycling other materials. Ag bags is a good example. There's places on either coast that are taking that kind of material. There's a company in town here, Pellinger's, just started recycling carpeting within the last year. So there are opportunities to recycle carpet. That means we can keep a problem material out of the landfill. You can imagine that carpeting is not real easy to crush into any kind of space either. You know, it's slip sliding all over the place. Same with mattresses. There might be an opportunity for an organization to recycle mattresses. Those are just a few of the things that are on the horizon, along with increased plastics recycling. As the price of oil goes up, the value of recyclable plastics goes up, and so more companies are trying to grab more of that piece of the pie, so to speak.
Anything you wanted to add to that?
I guess the other thing I was going to add is electronic recycling. 3 years ago, actually 4 years ago, we started recycling e-waste at the Household Hazardous Materials Facility. They had to charge for that. The people out there had to disassemble it. It was a difficult, hard job to do, and there was really limited places we could go with it. Right now, we actually take e-waste for free. There's a Dynamic Recycling, a local business, recycles it. They actually pay us for some of the e-waste. So that's an example of a waste stream that, as the markets have developed, it actually has become a valuable resource, not just something people were trying to get rid of and finding difficult to recycle.
That sort of relationship has to be kind of a relief. I remember just a few years ago where the big question is, what are we going to do with all this e-waste?
Yeah, it is. It's a very good situation. And there is another dynamic there. The manufacturers of the electronics do pay for some portion of that recycling. You know, it's just so that's part of the reason there's value to it. But it also comes from the fact that there's a lot of valuable metals and other materials in the e-waste. They are rare. They are getting harder and harder to get. And by recycling the e-waste, those are being recovered. And those have a very good market value right now. So it is a combination of the manufacturers paying for some of the costs. And because of that, it's stimulated the market. And the market has developed, and it's actually been a booming recycling market.
All e-waste welcomed, even like old computers like Commodores?
Oh, sure, like sure. Yeah, we see all kinds of old stuff. You'd be amazed how long some of the TVs have been out in somebody's shed.
So with the 42% of stuff going into landfills actually diverted to elsewhere, will this extend the lifespan of the landfill itself?
Definitely. Right now we've got approximately 30 years in what is permitted air facility, what is permitted at the present rate that we are filling it. And that's one of the advantages of having the partnership with the Xcel Waste Energy Facility. That has actually substantially extended the life of the landfill to date. And yes, it does make a huge difference. We've also got land out there for an additional 20 years. We'd have to go through the permitting process in order to do that. So we're looking at approximately 50 years of life still at the present site.
What do you do after 50 years? Build another one? Or at 40 years, you go, okay, in 10 years, we're going to need to make a decision here?
We'll have to make the decision probably more than 10 years prior to the end of life of this facility. That's going to be a question for the people in the future. It's, you know, what are the technologies? I mean, we're looking right now at our contract with Xcel Energy being up in 2023. Well, you think, well, that's 11 years away. Well, really, we're thinking about it. Do we want, you know, are we going to extend with their facility? Is there a new technology out there that may do a better job of getting energy from, you know, besides just, you know, the refuse-derived fuel technology? Do we want to partner with other counties to try to do something together on more of a regional basis? You know, there's a lot of questions, and we're looking at them. So 10 years is not enough time. It's really things that we're talking about right now, that the 2020 is what we're going to do. And I'm sure in the 2020s they'll be talking about the 2030s and 2040s. So,
will we always have landfills?
Will we always have landfills?
I sure hope not.
I would hope not, too. I don't see any technology on the right now that's out there that in a practical manner could totally eliminate landfills. I would hope that someday landfills would be for some very, very small amounts of very problem-type materials. There's a lot of value in a lot of things. And we're just learning as a society how to actually get that value out of it.
This is a bold new age in reusing and recycling. With all these different different products going out.
I think we've seen a steady progress towards reducing, reusing, recycling, you know,
sure.
following the waste hierarchy. I think people have come to understand that, you know, when you buy a product to manufacture, when you buy materials to create a product, you use a certain percentage of that material, and then you have to pay to get rid of it. So you're paying for this material twice. A lot of companies have come to realize, now, wait a minute, if I become more efficient in my process, I throw less away. And what I do throw away, can that be a feedstock for another business? We've seen a lot of exchange going on throughout the country in this kind of process, which has helped reduce the amount of garbage that people throw away. That's a good thing. And as materials become more valuable, oil is a prime example. We're over $100 a barrel with that kind of stuff. Plastics become more valuable. And so recycling those plastics and getting that energy value or that oil resource back from that material becomes more important. And as we see oil prices go up, obviously those prices for that recycled material are going to go up. I just really see landfills as a storage area for misplaced resources. You know, we have all this material that's going into it, and all of that material can be recycled somewhere. It's just a matter of cost and you know, innovation.
Is there enough being shipped to the Xcel Energy plant to make the energy?
Right now there is.
That hasn't always been the case, right?
There has been times in the past where there has been some issues. And that's really one of the reasons that La Crosse County has partnered with some of the neighboring counties. It's to ensure that we have enough waste going to the Xcel facility. Now, there are some stresses on that in the future as the communities go more and more toward recycling. La Crosse and Onalaska are looking very hard at how they're collecting waste and their recycling. And their recycling is going to go up. That is going to affect what is going to the Xcel facility. So, yeah, we have a concern out that we have to make sure that we find the proper type of waste to go to that facility. So, that, you know, at the present time, we're doing fine. But there is a concern out there in the future.
What if there is a shortage?
If there is a shortage, we have to pay a fee to make up for what the loss costs to Xcel.
It is a big fee, I take it.
I don't have the numbers in front of
you,
yes.
I can't tell you what that is either. One thing I would like to reiterate, though, the La Crosse disposal system, we follow the waste hierarchy. Reduce, reuse, recycle, waste to energy. We want those to be the priorities that people think about. You know, if there's a shortage there, that's our problem. That's our job to find that waste and bring it into the system. And we're working on that also, even as we speak.
How many counties are also using the La Crosse County landfill?
What do we got? We got Houston, parts of Wabasha. We got Trempealeau, parts of Trempealeau, Buffalo County. Yep.
How do counties go about and establish that relationship? And, you know, what's in it for La Crosse County?
Oh, the waste stream, for one, but also creating partnerships. You know, anytime you can create a partnership with another entity, an organization, private company, like we have, there are benefits to everybody. Working together to try and create a sustainable system, that's our goal. And that's our goal, to try and work with our partners to do that.
There is waste in this community that is actually leaving this community. Industrial and commercial customers are not required to go into our system. There are haulers in this community that are taking the waste out. They're hauling it across the state to landfills on the other side of the state. We feel that we provide a value. We do follow the waste hierarchy. You know, a lot of it is diverted. It's not just going into the landfill. You know, our customers know that that when they send waste to us, it is secure. They're not going to have to worry about it in, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, we operate the landfill correctly. We are diverting as much waste as we can, and we're looking for more and more ways to do that. So we offer a value to our customers, and that's one of the messages that we are trying to get out there, because there is waste leaving this community. And again, if we're with a potential shortfall in the Xcel facility in the future, that is waste that would be valuable to stay here.
Why do these companies, and I know you're not their media coordinator, mm-hmm. but have you heard as to why these companies are choosing not to get rid of this stuff locally?
It really goes back to the haulers. I mean, there's some haulers that have commitments to other, you know, either parts of their business or other businesses where they actually will take waste to other places, and that's part of their business relationships. I mean, some businesses aren't really sure where their waste goes. They put it in the dumpster, and they don't know. You know, does it go to XL? Does it go to a landfill in the eastern side of the state? You know, they really don't know that. We would like to see the waste in this community handled in this community. We feel that it is a more sustainable option. We are diverting a large amount. If, you know, you have a commercial, we'll go to a commercial business. They put their garbage into a dumpster. That dumpster is picked up. It is ultimately packed into a large truck. It's taken across the state. We feel that is not a very sustainable option. It ends up in a landfill. There's a lot of value. There's resources in that waste that is not being utilized. It could go to XL. It could be used to generate electricity. Driving it across the state is not a real sustainable option. So from the standpoint, you know, our responsibility is to one, make sure that waste is handled in this community. But our also, you know, our responsibility is to make sure it's done as a sustainable, as an environmentally secure way as we possibly can.
Are there stereotypes about landfills that don't factor in what you folks are doing now with the reusing, the recycling? I mean, I have an image in my head of like a scene from a Mad Max movie or something, desolate with a lot of large tires.
That's a definite stereotype. And Randy and I give a lot of tours out at the landfill to university students, to high school students, those kind of things. And every time we get comments about, wow, this is really beautiful out here, because it is. It's not just one giant hole that we're throwing things in. We have over 350 acres at the landfill. We have 50 acres of landfill, and only 5 acres is open at any one time. We have over 88 acres of forest that's been designated a community forest. We just did a burn a couple of weeks ago trying to restore some prairie grass out there. Part of our land stewardship plan incorporates walking trails into the landfill. We are really working hard to be good stewards of the people's land. And we would certainly like to invite anyone to come out and take a tour.
This is Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. And we are talking with a couple of guests here, Randy Nederlow, La Crosse County Solid Waste Program Director, and Nick Nichols, Sustainable Coordinator for La Crosse County. Prescription drugs, collecting and such, is that still kind of the biggest issue with you folks at this point?
It's one of many. We had to make some changes to our prescription drug collection program. Controlled substances are something that need to be collected in the presence of a law enforcement officer. And the DEA has some pretty strict requirements on that. And we never got any problems with it. But, I mean, we're trying to get more in line with what the DEA is expecting at this time. In order to do that, where we can collect controlled substances, we have 4 collections a year where we have police officers present. Twice a year, we do it at multiple sites. And that this coming Saturday, we have a collection. It'll be at 4 different sites. One is at Viterbo University in the Fine Arts Building, the parking lot. Other is at the Onalaska Police Department. We have a new site up in West Salem at CESA 4, which is on East Garland Street. If you just come off the interstate, look for the signs, take the first right turn, and you'll see it. And we also collect them at our household hazardous materials facility at the landfill.
Has there been any sort of correlation, any sort of study to find out with these collections how much it's kept it off the streets?
We know what's being collected. We collected about 1,300 pounds of waste or unwanted medications in our last large collection which would have been 6 months ago, 875 people dropped off medications at one of the three sites, and that was within a three-hour period. We know there's a lot of medications out there. I can go anecdotally just seeing what people bring in, and it's amazing sometimes what one person will actually bring in as far as
medication. Give me an example.
We had a person bring in the equivalent of a clothes basket. A parent had passed away, and it was just bottles and wrap, you know, the bubble wrap type things, all kinds of different medications. Many of them, I'm sure, were prescribed, didn't work out, and all of a sudden they took a few pills and they had a large bottle remaining. You know, so, I mean, it definitely is being, we are removing some from the community. There's still a lot out there. Statistics show that almost 25% of high school seniors have taken a prescription that doesn't belong to them, that wasn't prescribed for them. You know, so that's a disturbing number. We know that medications that are flushed down the toilet have an effect on the ecosystem. Bass are very susceptible to it, and they're finding a lot of male bass that are not able to spawn because of effects of certain medications. So we know there's problems out there. It's just really hard to quantify it and how much impact we have. One of the big impacts we feel is because we've partnered with the La Crosse County Prevention Network and some other organizations, it's really helped increase the awareness in the community. I mean, just having those four large billboards up in the community, you know, gets people talking about it. And you start thinking about, you know, abusing medications.
Once you guys get it and deal with it, does it get shipped to another location?
It goes to be incinerated. We do some separation. If it's not considered a controlled substance, we can actually keep that at our facility, and we will send that out for incineration generally twice a year. If it is a controlled substance, it has to go into the possession of law enforcement, and we'll generally store them at the county sheriff's department or one of the local police departments. With this collection, the DEA is involved with it, and they are actually going to be handling the disposal. And it'll be done by incineration. There's a number of incinerators throughout the country that they will take them to.
Was there anything that you folks wanted to talk about?
Within our community, the city and county of La Crosse aren't the only ones out here doing things. You know, we're a joint eco-municipality. We have the strategic plan for sustainability that's working within the city and within the county government. But there's a lot of other organizations and groups that are doing great things in this town. Western Technical College, we're working with them right now to put together a sustainability conference that's going to be geared towards businesses. And we've got some fantastic speakers that are going to be there. Dr. Jeff Thompson is going to be our keynote speaker. Jennifer Schilling is going to be there. Dr. Lee Rosh is going to be our keynote for the afternoon. We've got Mark Glendenning from Inland Printing. Just a wide variety of individuals trying to get business together to talk about how they can be more sustainable and some of the success stories that have happened at different organizations. I mean, Gunderson Lutheran is a big leader in town when it comes to being green and saving money, and that's the key to sustainability.
What have they done?
They did a retrofit project like 3-4 years ago. This was a 3-day event. They had a bunch of vendors come in and some other experts, and they went through the entire downtown campus taking a look at every system. Gunderson identified over $850,000 worth of savings that they could achieve by making per year by making, I believe it's a $3 million investment. So you're talking a little over 3-year payback. We're taking the landfill gas, and we're going to be powering Gunderson Lutheran's Onalaska campus. So that's where our gas is going to be going. That project is now up and running. And we're still working through a couple of little bugs, but from what I understand from Tom Thompson, the sustainability coordinator over at Gunderson Lutheran, that campus, the Onalaska campus right now, is at zero energy. You know, it's the first one in the nation to be able to achieve that. All of their systems are being run by landfill gas and a generator they have on site that creates electricity and heat. Now, these are just basic things that most companies should be looking at. heating and ventilating systems, you know, insulation systems, how you use your water within your organization, waste streams, all these kinds of things. There are ways to save money. And this is what we're trying to highlight with this conference that's going to be held at the Lunda Center on June 6th. We certainly want to make sure that the business community knows about that. It's going to be a great success. It's going to be a lot of interesting information.
Nick Nichols is La Crosse County's Sustainability Coordinator, and Randy Netterlow is the Solid Waste Program Director. They talked with Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Roysom about the garbage disposal system. On next week's Newsmakers, the early spring weather has been a surprise to plants, trees, and gardeners alike. We'll talk to La Crosse County's UW Extension Agriculture Agent, Steve Hunsicker, about the weather and gardening.
Some of the annuals, as long as we haven't put them out too early, we're probably okay. For example, if we're not getting into our gardens too soon, if we're not putting our annual flower beds in too soon, they're going to be fine because we're going to put them in at a normal time that we would be putting them out there. Some of our perennial shrubs and maybe some of our bulbs that might have been out there, say some of the tulips, we just may not have gotten the show out of them that we would normally expect.
Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also now on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Follow us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.